Morning. The scripture reading this morning is Matthew 24, verses 36 to 44. But about that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and given in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore you also must be ready, for the Son of God is coming at an unexpected hour.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. The only good thing about being sick over the holiday is that I had plenty of time to catch up on all the TV shows that I had not seen in the last couple weeks. While I was sick, I binge-watched, or I watched all 10 episodes back-to-back of the new season of The Crown. The Crown follows the reign of Queen Elizabeth II. In this season, it follows the Queen from 1964 to 1977. On October 21st, 1966, Queen Elizabeth faced an unexpected but particularly horrifying day in British history, the Aberfan disaster. Shortly after 9 a.m., a landslide of liquefied coal waste descended down the mountain slope in the Welsh town of Aberfan. The waste engulfed the junior school. 116 children and 28 adults died in the disaster. Queen Elizabeth wasn't quite sure how she was supposed to respond to the tragedy. And initially, she put off visiting the town, even though her advisors and the Prime Minister urged her to go. When she finally did visit, 8 days later, it was one of the few occasions that she showed emotion in public. The Aberfan disaster taught the Queen an important lesson in showing up for survivors in the midst of tragedy. But it also taught her a lesson in acting in the midst of uncertainty. To date, she cites her response to the disaster as her biggest mistake as monarch. The Queen's feeling of uncertainty in the midst of tragedy. This feeling of needing to do something, but of not quite being sure what to do. I suspect that this is a familiar feeling to most of us. What I love about our gospel lesson for today is that it insists that uncertainty happens to everybody, even people with the strongest faith. This week marks our first time with the Gospel of Matthew in a while. And unlike Luke, Matthew is going to insist that uncertainty is actually a normal part of faith. Matthew teaches us that if Jesus can be hopeful while he waits for an ending he doesn't quite know when will happen, surely we can face our own uncertainties with hope too. Our passage for this morning begins with Matthew's assertion that no one but God knows the day or the hour when the Son of Man will return. Although it is likely that the Son of Man will return when we least expect it. Matthew uses the example of two laborers working in a field. One will be taken and the other will be left behind. The unfaithful one will be taken, while the faithful one will be left to carry out the work of waiting. One of my favorite theologians, Karl Barth, referred to this time of waiting for the Son of Man as living between the times. What living between the times means is we're living after the Son of Man came. So we know who Jesus is and we know that Jesus came. But we don't know when Jesus is going to return. So we're living in this period of expectant waiting. Theologians have a fancy name for this living between the times. They call it eschatology, which is a Greek word meaning last and times. It is the study of the end of time, but more importantly, it's a study about what the end of time teaches us about the character of God. Not to get too far into the weeds here, but the point of eschatology is to remind us that we must be ready, for Jesus could return at any moment. Because we don't know when Jesus will return, we must, as Matthew insists, keep awake. Here is where living between the times gets tricky. Since we don't know when Jesus will return, it's easy for our uncertainty to turn into fear. Fear that we are going to miss Jesus when Jesus returns. After all, the first time that Jesus came in the form of a little baby born of an unwed mother. As though God purposefully had Jesus come in such a way that we would miss it if we weren't paying attention. But the readiness of which God, Jesus is calling us to is not one shaped by fear of the future, but rather one shaped by gratitude for the life in the kingdom that Christ already offers us. In other words, we are to keep awake by looking towards the future with gratitude and hope, not fear. Faced with the reality of 116 dead children, I imagine that Queen Elizabeth could have easily looked towards the future of her country with fear. There's this really beautiful scene in the episode where she's talking with Prime Minister Harold Wilson, and she asks him if something is wrong with her. Because, as you know, the Queen is kind of famous for not being able to express emotions in public. Wilson tells her, "We can't be everything to everyone and still be ourselves. Our job is to calm more crises than we create. That is our job, and you do it well indeed. No one wants hysteria from their head of state." I know that none of us in this room are members of the royal family, but all of us have to make decisions whether we are going to act out of fear or hope every day. Decisions where our loyalty to who we are as people will be tested against our loyalties to our positions. What I love about our scripture passage for today, and I love that it's happening on the first Sunday in Advent, is that it encourages us to embrace the uncertainty that comes with living in between the times. To accept that our loyalties will indeed be tested, but to have hope that we cannot make all of our decisions based in fear. Friends, this is a weird scripture passage. I'm sure a lot of you were expecting a scripture passage on a baby in a manger or the prophets foretelling Jesus. Instead, you get this weird passage about people being left behind. But what I love about this passage is I think it speaks to the heart of what it means to be a Christian. How do I live a life of gratitude when I'm not quite sure what I'm doing or how this story will end? I think that many of us, myself included, thought that our lives were somehow going to be easier when we became a Christian. I would confess that Jesus is Lord, and then all of a sudden, I would have a clear sense of how I was to act in any given situation. What I love about this passage is that it insists that faith knows that it doesn't know everything, but it does know that it is called to do something here and now. To respond in hope to the God who acts in Jesus, who acted in Jesus, who acts now, and who will continue to act till the end of time. Friends, on this first Sunday in Advent, we light the candle of hope. We are hopeful because our God is faithful. And we are hopeful because we believe that God will keep his promises to us. Promises to be with us. Promises to return again. Promises to take our beautifully broken world and restore it in the way God intended. Friends, during this first week in Advent, how might we look towards the future with hope? One thing that we might do is to embrace the uncertainty that is this season. We may never know the day or the hour when Jesus will return. We may not have enough time to make homemade cookies for the session meeting on Wednesday. We may never know how to act with 100% certainty, how to act in a given situation. All of this is okay. In the meantime, we can live into hope by acting kindly towards our neighbors, by showing up for our friends and family, by bearing one another's burden in love, by refusing to succumb to fear and proclaiming that our God is alive and moving. Living into hope this Advent helps us prepare our hearts and our minds for the day and the hour when the Son of Man will return in glory. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen.